Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of bells. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Where does it settle? That's it?
Yes, sir. In your soul.
It does.
On the hill. All right. Good morning, Jefferson. How you doing? Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, I hope. How are you doing, Terry?
I'm bushy-tailed.
You're bushy-tailed. Okay.
Then not bright-eyed.
Ashley will be bright-eyed for
us. No bright-eyed zone.
No bright-eyed zone.
Bushy-tailed zone.
That's the zone. Well, good morning, Jefferson. Hope everybody's doing well today.
Broadcasting live from KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Newark Talk Radio.
Yep.
From downtown Reading.
Yeah.
In the heart of...
chaos.
I don't know. Heart of something.
Heart of something. Yeah, sometimes you wonder.
And tomorrow night
at
2570 South Bonnie View Road.
On a Monday night.
On a Monday night, we are going to have Sheriff Tom Basenko, and he will be answering questions, your questions. The public is invited, and as normal, this is a private meeting with the public invited, and we'd love to have everyone come. There are questions. There are questions for the sheriff and a lot of different things. There's questions on basically the court cases that not only gun owners have, but the NRA has, and Mark Baird with Baird versus Becerra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of things to where the Supreme Court and the Ninth Circuit agree that virtually the carry of a loaded weapon, open carry, is the only law protected, or the only right protected by the Second Amendment.
By the Constitution.
And the Constitution of the United States. But, you know, we seem to have this privilege of open carry and also the privilege of being able to get, or excuse me, the privilege of concealed carry. And the and also open carry in California is also a privilege because you'd have to... you'd have to get a permit from the sheriff, which means they're denying us our Second Amendment rights. Well, we need to have a talk with the sheriff, see where he stands on that, among many other things. And, Wynn, you've got some announcements there.
I do. It kind of tags along right on to that. The Constitutional Carry Rally that we're going to be having on Friday, September 6th at 9 a.m. down in Sacramento. And it's going to be at the Robert Matsui Courthouse, 501 I Street, Sacramento. Again, 501 I Street. It's the 15-16 story tall building that you can see from I-5 off just east of the freeway. And actually parking for that courthouse is from that courthouse westward towards under the freeway. So it's a stone's throw away. You can see it from the freeway. So what we're doing is we're calling all liberty-loving patriots to show up at 9 a.m. wearing your holster with a constitution in it.
Open carry. So they can see your holster with a constitution in it.
That's right. Have your pocket constitution in your holster. Bring your flags and signs as we will be walking two blocks to the Capitol after the court hearing. And if you want more information on that, call 246-9706. Again, 246-9706. And there's more information at this website, tokeepandbear.com. tokeepandbear.com. And then along those lines, if you want transportation provided by others, you can ride the bus. There's going to be a bus going down. So the bus will hold around 56 people and cost is $30 per person. And it will leave Reading at 6 a.m. with possible pickup spots along I-5 in Red Bluff and Corning and return home pickup at the state cap. We'll be at the state capitol in Sacramento at 4 p.m. So they'll pick you up at the capitol at 4 p.m. And if you're interested, give Sally a call at 246-9706, 246-9706. and she needs to know as soon as possible so it can be reserved. So if you have an inkling that you might want to do that, give her a call, talk to her, get your name on the list, because they've got to have a certain number of bodies to go
56,
on the bus.
56, I think, isn't it? 56 people?
It has to be full to be reserved, is that correct?
I think so. I think it's 56
people. Yeah, it said 56, yeah. So she needs to know ASAP. So if you have any questions about that, please give her a call, 246-9706.
Now,
and then make your check out to Sally if you're going to do that, because then she can just write one check to the bus company. So make it out to Sally Raposa, R-A-P-O-Z-A, and you can mail it to her. But call her and talk to her first, 246-9706. And then she will hold your check until she knows that the bus is full. She will not cash anything until she knows the bus is full. Once they know the bus is full, she'll cash the check. She'll write a check to the bus company, and then everybody will be ready to go.
Yeah, that's $30 a person. It's a pretty good deal. What time does it leave again, when?
6 a.m.
6 a.m. Okay, so it is a bit early, but, you know, they take you down there, they pick you up, and if you've ever parked at the Robert Metzger Courthouse, you'd appreciate that.
Yep.
There's many of us that are going down the night before. But remember, we need to get everyone that can possibly go to get there. This is about your Second Amendment rights. And as we've talked about before, there's three things that we need to focus on that encompasses everything. Number one is representation. Without representation, we have no rights. If we're not represented, we have no rights. If we can't put people in office who will do the will of the people, we have no rights. If we lose the Electoral College, we become a democracy. We are not a democracy.
We are a republic.
Number one. Number two, the Second Amendment protects that. I know there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of mass shootings. It's terrible stuff, but you can't change evil and you can't change crazy, no matter what you do. Point being is that if a lot of people were open carrying down at the Garlic Festival, I would think that maybe this guy would have thought twice, or maybe somebody could have gotten to him a lot sooner than the police reacted, even though they did a good job down in Gilroy. Point being is that by taking away a constitutional right, or like some of the candidates, I was really surprised that Lane Rickert, who's running for assembly, his remark about gun safety for people who have CCWs. People who have CCWs aren't the problem. They are trained, number one. Number two, you know, what's that got to do with your Second Amendment rights? It's the bad guys that are creating all the chaos and the criminals that they're the ones who are committing crimes.
What was his comment?
His comment was that, I think we have to have stronger restrictions basically on concealed carry, and I agree with those things because safety is first and foremost. Well, it sounds good, but it's not right.
Okay.
You know, it isn't right. I mean, how can, you have people who have taken classes who are trained, and they need more training and more classes and all that good stuff. Well, criminal doesn't need any training. They just use the gun on you. You know, I mean, the real deal is that it's our right. It's not a matter of whether, you know, you have restrictions or this, that, or the other. It's our right. Second Amendment is a right. It isn't saying that the government has permission to restrict this right. It says the government has to stay away from this right.
Amen. All right. Hey, we have our first caller this morning. Richard, good morning. How are you doing?
How you doing, Richard?
Hey, good morning, guys. Quick question on the Electoral College and the supposed state law that's about Trump being on the California primary ballot. I heard on Chris Ann Hall the other day. She said we should directly talk to our county clerk who's in charge of the elections and get them on record to say that they are going to follow the Constitution with regard to qualifications for the candidates, which, of course, tax returns are not part of that qualification process, and get them on record that they are going to follow the Constitution.
Well,
and
Richard,
and then the second thing real quick, and then I know you got to go to break. Chris had mentioned about the Electoral College, and if the states are not following Constitution and federal laws with regards to federal elections, it may be possible to nullify those electoral votes. So just interesting, something to think about.
Richard, hey, stay with us for a second here. That was really good. That was good stuff, buddy.
Yes,
very good.
Very good.
Let me comment on that because there's something there I think our governor may be overlooking. You're right. Chris Ann Hall is amazing. and everything you said is true. And not only that, but here's the deal. Even if the governor says, well, you know, we're going with the California Constitution, not the Constitution of the United States, the problem is that in Article 3, Section 1 of the California Constitution, California recognizes the Constitution of the United States of America as the supreme law of the land and is an inseparable part of that, which means that the United States Constitution trumps, no pun intended.
Pun intended.
It is intended.
Yeah.
Trumps the California Constitution. They don't have one single legal leg to stand on. So, Richard, my friend, thank you. Great call. And with that, we do have to go off to our first break because Ashley is jumping up and down in the other room. And here we go. Time has come.
For 51.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of years without crying. Now I want to understand.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
I've been waiting to awaken from these dreams. People go just where they will. I never noticed them until I got this feeling that it's later than it seems.
Jackson Brown. Yep, that's Sally Lou. She does all the music every week, and I know it's the same song every week.
It's an easy job.
Not really, honey. I'm just kidding.
We've never asked Sally.
Yeah, Jackson Brown
picks,
is.
She picks on us behind the scenes.
She does good.
Nobody ever sees that, do they? They never see her pick on you, do they?
No.
No, she's good. She's stealth-like.
I'm not going to respond to that.
Chicken. Love you, Sal.
Anyway, we have Mark Baird on the line. Mark, how are you?
Good morning, Mark.
Every day is a real adventure. How are you guys doing?
Oh, about the same.
Same thing.
Yeah. So we've had a couple of rough days here yesterday and today. Two crazy people out using firearms to take innocent life Here we are on the cusp of a Second Amendment case, and there's a lot of emotion about, but what I would like to try to do today is cut through that emotion and get to the substance, because I know that, people like my sisters who were dyed-in-the-wool liberals, they're about feelings, but they aren't about substance. And so the easy thing to do is attack the feeling, but not attack the root cause and not try to do anything about the root cause, because you should attack the feeling instead, which is what the state's doing. We have filed our case, Second Amendment case. The first hearing's on September the 6th. Please, if you care anything about your freedom, if you care anything about your liberty, if you care anything about being able to defend yourselves and your family with the weapons of your choice, then show up for this. Because if you don't show up, then you may be helping us lose. We need support. We need public support. I'm going to be wearing an empty pistol holster with a pocket constitution in it. I think that's an important statement to make. And I want to detail, first of all, what's going to happen. The first thing that's going to happen is they're going to talk about the motion to dismiss and our opposition to their motion to dismiss. And then also we filed a motion for a preliminary injunction. In other words, what we want the court to do, we want the court to say that, yes, the state has infringed upon the Second Amendment, and they're not allowed to do that. And so we're going to grant you the liberty given you by your forefathers in the Constitution of the United States, and the liberty granted you by your maker, by your God, and until this case winds its way through court. So what we want is liberty now, and that's what the preliminary injunction is asking for. And the state, of course, opposes that because they don't want you to enjoy the liberty given you by your maker. They want to be your master. They want you to be their servant. They pretend that they have rights, and as Megan Daly said, well, the sheriff has the right to do that, but I beg your pardon. I've read the Constitution of California at least a dozen times. I've read the United States Constitution probably hundreds of times, from end to end, every single word in it. There is no place in either Constitution that grants the government rights. Governments don't have rights. Governments are incapable of having rights. They are creations of the people. They're inanimate objects created by the people in order to secure the liberty that we hold most dear, and I can prove that. I can prove it in two statements. But beyond that, governments are changeable. They change with the whims and wills of those in government, and therefore, even if they were capable of having rights, they should not be granted rights, because those rights would be a moving target. And we, the people, would be the subject of the government's rights. And that's how they want to make this. People have rights, not government. People are the only ones that have rights. Those rights predate government. They were given us by our God. That's the principle of natural law. And if you are not a Christian, then you have no moral justification to claim rights, because you don't think God exists. But God does exist for constitutional purposes, at least, not only in reality, but at least for constitutional purposes, because without God, without the principle of natural rights, then those rights are worth nothing, because there is no guarantor of those rights. There is no one who was deserving of more respect, who is in a higher station than government, who has more authority than government. And if your rights did not come from this judge, this almighty creator of the universe, then they are not above government's reach. So we must adhere to the principle of natural rights, because our rights are above government's reach. They come from someone with more authority than government, deserving of more respect than government, and therefore those rights to the people are inalienable. They are not for government to discuss or change or to have any part in. Now, obviously, in California, that's not true, and obviously in the United States, it's becoming less and less true. And because of crazy people who are capable of taking any instrument they choose and turning it into an instrument of death, guns are being targeted, because liberals are all about feelings and they're not about substance. You know, let me just give you an example. I have a can of gas and I have lots of matches at my house. Now, in my hands, the can of gas goes in my lawnmower and the matches are used to light my barbecue. But in the wrong hands, the can of gas and the matches could be used to start a forest fire or to burn down a house or to do a number of ungodly things. But no one wants to get rid of gasoline, and no one pretends to want to restrict matches to people over 21 who have a permit approved by the sheriff, because they can strike the match for the first three times successfully, and they can keep the match contained within a small circle at 21 yards. I mean, automobiles are on the road. Automobiles kill 50,000 people a year, but no one's talking about restricting the use of automobiles beyond you got to get a driver's license. And remember, the gun grabbers all say, well, you have to get a driver's license, so why not get a license for a gun? Well, there's an important difference there. Driving is a privilege. A gun is a right. A weapon is a right that you have that predates government. Driving isn't. Driving is a privilege that you must demonstrate a certain level of competence or the government won't grant you the privilege. But that's not the same thing as the Second Amendment. So, you know, we look at medical malpractice kills 250,000 people a year. 250,000 people a year. But no one's talking about banning doctors because people say, well, doctors aren't the problem. They just make mistakes. Well, guns aren't the problem. Guns are just a tool. And, in fact, they want to ban semi-automatic rifles. Semi-automatic technology is more than 100 years old. But yet in the 30s, no one walked into the Woolworths five and dime with their BAR. So what's different now? What's changed? Why is it that now the gun is deserving of vilification when the gun created this nation? The gun protects this nation. The gun has protected this nation in two world wars and countless conflicts around the world. Guns protect, according to the Center for Disease Control, and that's a U.S. government entity that studied defensive uses of handguns, and their estimation is that between 500,000 and 3 million times a year, and there's a wide variance because use of a defensive handgun is not always reported, but somewhere, let's even take the low number, 500,000 times a year guns were used to defend life and property. So why are we targeting the gun? Does that mean that 500,000 people won't have any ability to protect themselves or their property? I mean, because you have two crazy men who acted outside the law and broke an untold number of laws in committing their crimes. We're not banning doctors. We're not banning drugs. We're not banning gasoline. We're not banning automobiles. We're not banning any of the millions of dangerous things that are in our lives every day. But for some reason, semi-automatic rifles and guns in general are on the radar screen. And remember, more people get killed with a hammer every year than a semi-automatic rifle. More people get beat to death barehanded than are murdered with a semi-automatic rifle, and that's including mass shootings. And here's another thing. We're not banning Chicago, but 60 people got murdered there this weekend. I mean, 40 people got murdered in Baltimore, but we're not banning Baltimore. We're not changing the way we conduct business in Baltimore or Chicago. I mean, it's the craziest thing on earth, but we, the conservative people, and when I say conservative, I mean people who intend to conserve liberty. I'm not talking about Democrats or Republicans. I'm talking about people who value their lives, their liberty, and their property. For some reason, we are being targeted because of the actions of a few crazy people. And yet, the liberals are not going to investigate the causes of that insanity. They're not going to investigate the fact that the media propagates these disasters because they give so much credit to the murderer that it spawns copycats. They're not talking about drug-induced psychosis. They're not talking about poor upbringing and bad parenting or child abuse or any of the other root causes of mental illness. They're talking about attacking the tool. Well, when you're using your hammer and you bend a nail, do you blame the hammer or do you say, I need to hold the nail straighter? I mean, look, folks, this is an assault on your liberty. That is all it is, because without your liberty, you are a slave in the country your fathers built for you with their firearms and their blood.
Well, Mark, we're going to have to go off to a break here pretty quick. Can you hang on through the break, my friend?
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
So with that, time has come.
For 51.
I'm going to rid myself of hell in the shade of the freeway. Gonna pack my lunch in the morning and go to work each day. And when the evening rolls around, I'll go on home and lay my body.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Well, that's Jackson Browne.
Who?
Jackson Browne.
Oh.
Yeah. Sally gave us a Jackson Browne song. What a surprise.
Another Jackson Browne song.
It is. And Mark, I think you'll appreciate this, but Ashley has the solution. Ashley has the solution for this whole mess of all these mass murders. And Ashley, what's your solution, my dear?
I say we should make killing people illegal.
Oh,
just
there's...
make murder illegal, and then people will stop killing people.
Amen. So
right?
Problem solved.
Problem solved.
Gotta love her.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta love her. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Just great.
So let's go back to the right of defense, and let's talk about, the state and their opposition to our preliminary injunction. They say that, the state has the right to restrict carrying weapons in public because people have a right to feel safe. Well, I've read the Constitution, like I said, probably hundreds of times, and neither in the California Constitution nor the United States Constitution does it say that people have the right to feel safe. People have the right to be safe because they have the right to protect their lives, their liberty, and their property. They have those rights, and those rights were given them by God himself. So how does one, you don't have the right to feel safe, but you do have the right to be safe by defending yourself. Government can't defend you. Government has no duty and no responsibility to defend you. And so you must defend yourself. And your right to be safe is codified by the Second Amendment and the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. They are endowed with their creator by certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Sam Adams and William Blackstone said life, liberty, and property. And Sam Adams said, together with the right to defend those things as best you can. Now, when you talk about the government guaranteeing the people the right to feel safe, California says that throughout history, it's never been part of the Second Amendment that people were just allowed to carry firearms. They claim that that isn't part of the Second Amendment. You have the right to have guns, but you don't have the right to carry them. So they eliminate the bear arms part of the Second Amendment. Now, I have a question. Since the first police force was not even in existence until 1844, before 1844 and prior to the Constitution of the United States, in this nation, even when it was the 13 colonies, well, if there were no police, how did people feel safe? I mean, you know, how did they protect themselves? How did the guys on April 19th, 1775 possibly defeat the British at Concord and then chase them all the way back to Boston, shooting the soldiers of their own government for the tyranny they attempted to perpetrate on the people if they didn't have the right to leave their bedroom with their firearm? Did they do it in their pajamas through the curtains? I mean, you know, the state is smoking dope on this one because police forces weren't even invented until 1844. And yet they claim that because certain towns and certain places had ordinances restricting certain types of carry, and I don't have access to those exhibits, so I can't even read the statutes that they're quoting. But then that brings up a larger question. If that's true, if the state of California claims that it is the truth, the verifiable truth that they will swear under oath, that governments don't acknowledge that the Second Amendment includes the right to bear arms in public, why is it that in California for 163 years people carried arms in public? In other words, if the government of California says the Second Amendment does not protect the right to carry arms in public, how come we were allowed to do it? Why was it in pre-California Mexico it wasn't against the law to carry weapons in public? And I can prove that easily with one example. John Sutter went to Fort Ross, and he bought 20 cannon and a bunch of rifles off the British traders who were leaving and abandoning Fort Ross. He drug them back to Sacramento in public outside his house. He built his own fort. He equipped his own men, and he had his own force of militia who were made up of individuals who were all packing weapons outside. If you're not allowed to have a weapon outside your bedroom and outside of your pajama pocket, how did John Fremont and his bunch ride to the Valley of the Moon in order to try to subdue the Mexican garrison there and create the California Republic? And now here's the state of craziness in California in those days. When General Vallejo invited him in the house and gave his men food and drink, the weapons weren't even discharged. They sat there and had dinner, negotiated the surrender of the Mexican garrison, created the California Republic, and rode back to Sacramento. And when they got back to Sacramento, they were mad because they realized they never even arrested anybody. They not only didn't shoot anybody, they didn't even arrest anybody. I think one guy got killed in that whole revolution. So if guns are the root of all evil, and if California pretends that they've always been restricted, well, how do we explain these inconvenient circumstances? Why is it until 2012, which was today's 2019, 7 years ago? So up until 7 years ago, it was perfectly acceptable for Californians to put their sidearm in their holster outside for God and everyone to see and walk around the state of California. Now, yes, it's true, in 1967, you couldn't put bullets in it, but you could carry the bullets on your other hip. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but at least we had the gun if we needed to defend ourselves. So if the state of California isn't lying through its teeth, why is that possible? Why was it that there were no statutes in the state of California prohibiting the open carry of an exposed weapon until 7 years ago? What was that watershed moment? When did the people of California become untrustworthy 7 years ago? What did we do to deserve the state of California all of a sudden saying we no longer have the right to defend ourselves when, according to their own pocket, their own paperwork, they say you never had the right to defend yourself? How does that work?
Well, our sheriff had the answer here in Shasta County. He said that it makes his officers nervous. Said it in front of God and everybody.
Well, I was an officer. I don't care if his officers are nervous because he doesn't hire a good quality of officer. That's no reason to take my rights away from me. I don't even know his officers. They don't know me. I would never be a problem to to his officers, whether armed or unarmed, because I'm law-abiding. So who are his officers afraid of? Are they afraid of criminals, or are they afraid of the people that pay him?
I don't know, but I mean, it was a statement he made. I can't vouch for all his officers, but it was a statement he made.
Go ahead, Mark.
No, I mean, I'm just saying he leads the officer. I was an officer, and the sight of a gun never scared me. That's kind of part of the job description. If you're afraid of a gun and you're a peace officer, maybe you ought to work at McDonald's.
Do something different, yeah. Hey, now, we have a letter that one of our locals wrote to the editor, so I just want to read it real quick and just kind of see where it goes with everybody. It says, the title of it is Arm More People to Avoid Mass Murders. The recent shooting at the Garlic Festival in Gilroy was put down in rapid time because of the quick response of law enforcement on the premises. It was lots of good guys with guns. Santa Clara is one of those liberal counties that will not issue a concealed carry weapon, CCW, permit to the average citizen, but it will for a few elites. If law enforcement was not present, the situation of the liberals' ideal gun-free zone and a huge massacre could have happened. If California was open carry, like many other states, these mass murderers would not have had a chance. Many of the Democratic presidential hopefuls are already spouting out more gun control. Exactly what new law would prevent warped minds from doing evil things? I suggest a law to stop all of these shootings. All gang members, terrorists, felons, other criminals, and anyone planning a gun crime have 24 hours to turn in their firearms to the sheriff or the local police. If the new law will stop crime, then my new law should do the trick. What do you think? Dick Wilkinson sent that in. I think that's great.
Well, I mean, you know, I think that's something that at least is trying to get to the root of the problem, because the problem isn't the firearm. The problem is the person holding the firearm.
Exactly. And that's exactly.
And the problem is the news media who deify these murderers, these crazy murderers, and then they get copycats. You know, someone else says, oh, I want to go out in a blaze of glory, too. And
right.
So they go, you know, but quite frankly, like I said, semi-automatic technology has been around for over 100 years. So why all of a sudden is the semi-automatic weapon the target of these gun-grabbing, liberty-hating morons instead of the person that holds it? Because obviously something in the character of the individual criminal has changed over the last 100 years, and now they're more willing to murder innocent people just to make a statement than they were before, at least according to the liberals anyway. These kinds of things have probably always gone on, but they never got the media that they get now. So, and at any rate, more people were killed in Chicago last weekend than were killed in all of the mass shootings in the United States this week combined. So what gives there? Why aren't those people the target of some kind of public vilification or enforcement? I think, 44 people got murdered in Baltimore this last week. So why isn't there a hue and cry over that? I mean, you look at Los Angeles, San Francisco, how many drug overdoses were there? Why isn't there a hue and cry over that? Why aren't the liberal gun grabbers going after the low-hanging fruit like drug addiction and murder in some of their democratically run cities? I mean, look, Democrats have absolute control in Chicago. If they wanted to target a place, why don't they target their own towns and try to clean up their own backyard before they come after the rights of the rest of us?
Agreed.
Yeah, you know, and you make a good point. I mean, in Chicago, 10% of all the murders are violent is in Chicago, in one city. I mean,
right.
Yeah, I mean, good grief. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of cities and towns in the United States, and 10% is in Chicago. And then, I mean, 25% of all those murders are in Chicago, Baltimore, Detroit, and Washington, D.C.
Well,
and
you look at the
it's crazy.
You look at the FBI crime statistics, they can tell you what neighborhoods these things happen.
Exactly.
And something like 70% of all these killings are committed over gangs and drugs. So, you know, are you better off looking at the tool, or maybe you might want to target gangs and drugs? That might prove more profitable than taking the rights away from law-abiding individuals. And believe me, the law-abiding citizens in the United States outnumber the murderous crooks by probably 100,000 to 1.
Yeah, Brian.
Why on earth would you target the rights of the 100,000 instead of the one?
You're right. And Brian Daly broke ranks with the Republicans, as did James Gallagher, to make the CCW permit more restrictive and also to make it more expensive. And, you know, it is a privilege to have a CCW. And
it is a privilege, and the Ninth Circuit Court said so. But the fact that Brian Daly is against the Second Amendment doesn't surprise me, and it's not going to surprise me when his wife is against it either, because she does everything he wants her to do. So if you know, there's a question you need to answer when you go to your ballot. I mean, do you want more swamp creatures, more business as usual swamp creatures in the assembly in California? And oh, by the way, they're married, so they can decide what kind of swamp they want to invent over the dinner table? Or do you want to try to do something different here and try to escape the cycle of the loss of liberty and these do-nothing politicians who keep trying to do the same thing but hope it turns out different next time? Another thing, talk about Santa Clara. There are 1.5 million people in Santa Clara. There are only 113 CCWs in Santa Clara, and I'll bet you 90 of them belong to judges.
Wow.
Yeah, we're going to have to go off to a break here, Mark, if you could hold on. We have people jumping up and down in the other room, throwing sure. things at the window, and just having a good old time. So, and they're dancing. Now they're dancing.
All right.
I don't know what to do with these two. Anyway, time has come.
For 51.
Hi, I'm Dan Scott, owner of Eagle Eye Painting. Spring is traditionally a time for home improvement projects. A new paint job is a great place to start. At Eagle Eye Painting, we handle interior, exterior, and cabinets. Plus, we offer minor repairs for drywall and dry rot. We are fully licensed, bonded, insured, and do residential and commercial painting. Please visit our website at danscottpainting.com and read the customer reviews. Then give us a call at 400-5152 to schedule a free estimate. We would love the chance to do a great job for you. Call us today, 400-5152, Eagle Eye Painting.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Here's a surprise. We have a song from Jackson Brown. Just don't want to shock anybody out there.
Maybe the library needs to be expanded a little bit.
Okay, well, honey, do you like Jackson Brown? You must. Yeah, she was singing it in the pool yesterday. Singing it. And if you've ever heard Sally sing, you're in for a real treat.
Were you underwater?
No. No, but every dog in the neighborhood heard it. Anyway, Mark, Welcome back, my friend. You're absolutely right about these politicians that that want to run for office. You know, it seems as if we have so much shallowness and so much. It's unbelievable to me that you can have, you know, a candidate such as Megyn Dalley run for a position with no credentials whatsoever. I mean, you know, she gets the endorsement of people like John Lopey and Tom Basinko and Tex Doughty, you know, three sheriffs. I mean, she gets these endorsements. What if her last name was Megan Miller or Megan Smith, and she was this gal who, you know, runs a small company and, you know, was on a school board? Would that make any difference? These sheriffs would jump behind her before they even saw the full field of candidates.
Yeah, they didn't.
They didn't even know who was running, and they jumped behind her.
Yeah.
There's something that just doesn't smell right about that.
Well, look, everybody has the right to run. I mean, George Washington had never served as a president before he ran for president. But still, you have to ask yourself about these endorsements. Why would sheriffs endorse someone when they didn't even know who was running? They hadn't talked to the other candidates. Could nepotism be a factor? You know, her husband's a former assemblyman. She holds exactly the same positions that he does. Dams are a federal issue. You can regulate the Second Amendment as long as it's reasonable regulation. I mean, you know, her husband is a swamp creature. He's a business as usual, reach across the aisle rhino. Now he's a senator. She wants to be a business as usual, reach across the aisle rhino, just like him. And if you want a business as usual, reach across the aisle rhino, you know who to vote for. If you want to do something different, there are definitely options in this election. And Patrick Jones is the obvious choice. I mean, he's got the creds, he's got the resume. We know he supports the Second Amendment. He's worked in a gun shop for 40 years, and without him, we would never be bringing this lawsuit, because he's been a major driving effort in the fundraising to pay the attorneys.
And he's got the backbone.
He's got the backbone.
We do have a caller on the line.
Okay.
Carrie, what say you?
Hello, Carrie.
Are you there?
Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning.
There you are. Oh, it's Carrie, not Carrie.
Terry.
It's Terry.
Terry G.
How are you, darling?
How you doing?
I'm fine. I know I'm calling with something that's not about the present issue.
That's okay. Shoot away.
I wanted to squeeze in an announcement real quick, and that is that on Friday, August 16th, El Dorado County will have their second annual State of Jefferson Business Showcase. From 3 to 8 p.m. at the Forney Building at the El Dorado County Fairgrounds. Admission is free, and so is parking. Last year, we had this at the American Legion Hall, but in 1 year's time, we've expanded this to a building that's probably over double the size. And we have over 24 business and owners and vendors that will be displaying their goods and services. There'll be food featuring the famous Jefferson hot dogs that are now also have a double X branded in them. And there'll be games. It's for the whole family. We will have a silent live auctions, lots of food from, again, local restaurants and other vendors, desserts donated by local bakeries and Jefferson Bakers. Those are going to be sold by the piece, half, or slice. We have a margarita bar and also wine and beer, games for both kids and adults, the balloon pop, heads or tails. This year we even have karate demonstrations, and we will also be registering voters and informing people about the Prop 13 split roll that's about to hit us on the ballot in 2020.
And what time does it start, Terry?
It's 3 to 8 p.m.
Okay.
And we have, this will follow in what your discussion is today. We do have a gun safe as one of the prizes, and also two guns.
Wow.
And there's just so many prizes, I can't begin to list them. But anyway, and also a prize, special prize, donated by our county sheriff for this event. So come out, support business, support Jefferson, and this is a fundraiser for the State of Jefferson Formation Legal Fund.
Oh, this is fantastic. Terry, great job as usual. I mean, Sharon, yourself, Jack, all the great people on there, Nancy, all you folks down there in El Dorado, thank you so much for all you do. That sounds like an absolutely wonderful event. So give us the dates, times, and location
okay,
one more time.
It's Friday, August 16th from 3 to 8 p.m. at the Forney Building at the El Dorado County Fairgrounds. That's on Placerville Drive in Placerville, right off the Highway 50. And again, admission is free and free parking. And by the way, it's the Sheriff's Star Volunteers that will be assisting us with parking. Also.
Oh, that's great.
We have a lot of good support and public involvement, and looking forward to this being greater than ever.
Sounds absolutely wonderful and a lot of fun. So, folks, thanks, Terry, so much.
Well done,
okay,
Terry.
Thank you. And don't forget, read the Messenger next week, and we will have that in there.
Yeah, the Messenger is a very, very good paper. It's an online paper that we have that gives great information. You can get it at the website.
SOJ51.org. Go to the Messenger and subscribe there.
And it's just absolutely wonderful. Terry, thanks for all you do, my dear.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day. Thank you, Mark.
And when you subscribe to it, there is no – that's the only thing that you receive from that website portion of – that's the only thing you will receive, and there's no cost to it. They just email it to you automatically when it's published, FYI.
Right. So, Mark,
I read the Messenger. I read the Messenger religiously. I love that paper. It's got great news about Jefferson. I urge everybody, if you can make it to these Jefferson events, the Business Expo in El Dorado County, first of all, it's a great drive. It's a beautiful county. Go see what the people of Jefferson are up to. You know, in other words, make up your own mind. Don't sit there and listen to the liars and the cheats in Sacramento talking about how, oh, it can't be done and it shouldn't be done and they'll never make it and what will they do for the money. Go to Jefferson. Go to a Jefferson event. Talk to the people like Carrie Girardi, who's a wonderful woman who's working really hard to make this happen. Read the Jefferson Messenger. See for yourselves what the state of Jefferson represents. And I want to point out one thing. I know we're getting short on time, but here's what the state says in its opposition paperwork. The state says that the Second Amendment does not confer any right on the people to generally carry weapons in public. That's what the state says. The Second Amendment doesn't confer any right on the people to carry weapons in public. Well, if concealed carry is a permission, a regulated permission, it's not part of the right of the Constitution. We know we have a right. We know the right says the right of the people to keep and bear, which means wear, carry on your person, in your clothing, or in your pocket, any instrument capable of defense in the event of conflict with another person. And that was the Supreme Court definition. Well, if you don't have the right to keep and bear arms, then what does the Second Amendment say? The state says you don't have any rights. Is that really how you want this to be?
Nope. Nope, not on my watch.
Nope. And we want to encourage people to come to the Robert Matsui Courthouse at 9 a.m. on Friday, September the 6th.
Yes, sir.
Wear your holster. Wear open carry with a pocket constitution in it.
And you can also catch a ride on the bus for $30. Call 246-9706 to confirm with Sally. 246-9706. Call soon so that we can make sure we get that booked and ready to go.
That is area code 530-236-9706.
Yes.
So with that, Kemosabe, we got about a minute. What you got, Pat?
Well, I just want to say in closing, the state is right about one thing. The Second Amendment does not confer a general right on the people. It does not. God conferred that right on you. Your God-given gift, as John Adams said, liberty must be supported at all hazards. You have a right to it, derived from your Maker, and even if that were not so, it was purchased for you by your fathers with their ease, their estate, their blood, and their treasure. So the Second Amendment confers no right on you. God conferred that right on you. The Second Amendment simply guarantees your freedom from government intervention into a God-given right. And that's what we are going to court to assert, And if you believe in rule of law, if you believe that you have certain inalienable rights as outlined by the California Constitution, the United States Constitution, you had better show up to assert that right or they will be gone and you will never reclaim them. Because Daniel Webster said in closing, hold on to the Constitution.